Hi and welcome to the Corporate Life Podcast. My name is Hina Siddiqui and I loved and hated my corporate jobs for years. This podcast is going to empower you to go high on your career without losing yourself. I invite you to join me each week as you will hear real cool stories of the real cool corporate people doing real things in the corporate world. And their experiences and advice can change your story too. Hi, this is Hina Siddiqui. You are listening to the Corporate Life Podcast. You have heard me talk about yoga, spirituality, and the inner healing powers. In fact, all my coaching programs are now based on that. Not only this, I am now even organizing the residential healing and coaching retreats in collaboration with an amazing yoga guru, Gaurav Balyan. So you get the maximum essence and benefit of this ancient Indian yogic practice in your everyday corporate life. You may check out these retreats on my website www.authorhina.com and apply to join us for the next one available. And as I am talking a lot these days about healing your corporate life and reaching high positions in your career and money life the yoga way, I had to go there first before I could lead you that way. I said this before that I have followed spiritual principles and yoga from a very early age. But since 2020, during the pandemic, I got much deeper rooted in these concepts and practices after my two consecutive 10-day Vipassana retreats and formal yoga practices. During this spiritual yoga journey, I got the privilege to spend 7 days at Isha Yoga Center in July, and it was a phenomenal experience. I learned a lot and gained so many powerful insights that I want to share with you today. July 15th is my birthday, and every year I gift myself a unique experience or a skill that helps me grow and develop as a person so I could help you better and better and better. Okay, so you can also take that on board if you like this idea. This year, I gave myself this Isha experience. I had already done Sadhguru's inner engineering program, and now was the time to experience the yoga ashram life. Before I talk about this, I want to remind you that it's not a travel podcast, and I'm not even a travel blogger or vlogger. The reason I'm sharing my experience of staying at Isha Yoga Center is to let you peep into my insight so you could take inspiration to explore this place for your own personal and professional transformation. Or even if you can't, you can still learn from my experiences and lessons that I learned there. All my spiritual explorations are aimed at developing and growing myself to the extent where I can serve my community the best. And I know this journey is everlasting. It's never going to stop. I reached this place from Bangalore, about 7 hours drive by road. As I entered this place, the chaos and crowd instilled into me a little doubt. Is it as peaceful as it's known for? In my first thoughts, it was too commercial and chaotic. I walked around 2 kilometers with my luggage on the bumpy pathways, but that did not hurt. Every great experience is worth a little bit of initial pain, right? The check-in process was slow yet supported. As soon as I got my room key, I took a shuttle from the welcome point to my cottage. The room resonated with me so well. A simple and elegant white and blue painted big room with 2 twin beds, an almirah, 1 rack with a copper jug and 2 small copper glasses, white cotton curtains, clean beds and super high vibe. I never believed in love at first sight, but I loved it at first sight. Though I was too tired after the long trip and wished the food was served in the room, but welcome to the ashram life. Food is served in 2 batches twice a day, brunch and early dinner in a dining hall. We sat in rows. Men's and women's rows are separate. You don't get a spoon, and after the food is over, you will wash your steel plate and glass. Food was very carefully planned to be super nutritious, and honestly, it was too alien for me. When I used to call my mom and she asked me, "What did you eat for breakfast or lunch?" My usual answer was, "I don't know, but it was too good." Seriously, I can't even tell the names of the most dishes that were served there. Now, you need to eat with your hands as no spoons are available. Why is that? I asked a girl who had been with Isha for quite many years and was sitting next to me. Now, you need to listen to this carefully. This was my lesson number 1. The girl said, When you eat food with all your fingers, you feel connected with it and you eat with enjoyment and gratitude, right? So this is all about emotions that are produced when you eat the meal, right? So these are all positive emotions of enjoyment and gratitude and connection. As I ate with my hands, that made more sense to me, though it was super difficult for me to even eat curry with my hands, but that looked fine. No transformation happens without a change. So I learned it better with the passing days. After dinner was over, I headed to Dhyanalinga, the meditation place. They say that it's been created in such a way that even a non-meditator with no prior practice at all gets lost in deep meditation. It's open for cottage guests and residents even after it's closed to the public. At about 8:30 p.m., I spent some time there meditating and came back after half an hour. I had a fabulous sleep. So the key takeaway from this day number one for me was handle diversity, different foods and eating styles, because there were so many people, they were eating very differently. The food was a little strange to me, but it was all about being open and accept and handle diversity. Day number two, next morning at 7:15, I left for Chandrakunda, which is for women, a sacred pool of water you can take a dip into. It was an amazing healing experience. Sadhguru says that when you take a dip into the water or when you take a shower, you are much more receptive to the positive energies that are generated while, you know, your spiritual practices or the energy of the place. I don't know how to swim, and it was my first ever experience in the water. And it was super amazing. I took a dip in the cold water and it felt so light. At the center, they offer free Upa Yoga and Isha Kriya classes every 30 minutes starting at 9 a.m. And being a huge yoga fan, I could not resist it. Most of the people were walking barefoot. What I noticed was true grace in these people. The way they walk and carry themselves was so impressive. I spent some time sitting near Lotus Pond. I meditated there, I chanted, and then I did meditation in Dhyanalinga after dinner. So the key lessons I learned on this day number two, leave rigidity and try things that you have never tried before. Being open-minded gives you so much clarity, direction, and joy. Let's come to day number three. I was too tired after my over-enthusiastic activities on day two, so I slept until 7 a.m. Usually I get up at 5, right? Then I went to the cafe to do some work with my laptop as they don't have a great network in the rooms. As I was a little tired and the rain also made me drowsy, I kept on relaxing the entire afternoon in my room. Then I had a craving for coffee. They don't serve tea and coffee, but you can buy that in their canteen. So tea or coffee is not good for you, right? So try to avoid that. That was also a lesson. I had a coffee with a snack. Then I went to Lotus Pond. That was one of my favorite spots there. For long years, I believed that being money-minded was a bad thing. So I kept on avoiding money. In every job interview, I hesitated to negotiate salary and turned down every opportunity to make money. Even my coaching business functioned as a free service for a long time because the reason I got into coaching was to serve people. Then I started realizing the side effects of my wrong money mindset. Thanks to my coaches and mentors who set me up for money inflow while serving the world. Whatever career you are into, if your money mindset is distorted, you are going to struggle in your career. And the amazing fact is that you would not even realize that you are sabotaging your full potential. Because all this happens at the sub and unconscious level. Your money stories are deep-rooted, particularly if you have seen a money-deprived childhood. The solution is to identify your patterns and let them go as fast as you can, because it's costing you your career. That's why the money mindset is a big part of all my coaching programs. Send me a quick mail to connect@authorhina.com to know more about my programs. I had heard about the Nadaradhana, which is a musical program in the meditation hall called Dhyanalinga. I wanted to attend that, but actually did not make any effort to attend. I went to Dhyanalinga for meditation, and after the bell rang, I got up to leave. I don't know why and how, but a volunteer came to me and said, "Wait, a musical program will happen now." And I stayed back and so much enjoyed that sound healing meditative process. It lasted for about 30 minutes. So what do you think about this incident? Here's the lesson that I drew from this incident. When we set an intention and don't then care about it, things automatically align to make that happen, isn't it? This is in the universe's way to make things happen. Now let's talk about day four. A teacher, you can't talk over the phone while you walk. Sadhguru says that you should not ignore nature. If you want a great life, respect nature and give it your full attention. I met and talked to a few amazing people there who shared with me their experiences of being at Isha and a long-term residential program that they were doing there. They suggested an advanced meditation program and also told me that this program needs us to spend 5 hours writing our own life story. As I was about to start writing my book called Chasing Desires, which is now going to come out in July 2023, this gave me a fabulous idea and motivation that this life story task can be my next book. So what are the major lessons that I learned on this day four? Number one, be in union with nature by acknowledging and admiring, by being fully aware. Walking barefoot is being in union with the nature. Number two, talk to people. You will get cues to proceed with your life purpose. That gave me the idea of writing my life story as my book. Anyone can talk about something that you need to hear that gives you direction. And you know, universe is talking to us all the time through people and in various ways. It's just that we need to pay attention. Day five started with the normal chant, meditation, and yoga routine. I got my next powerful insight during brunch. I was sitting there waiting for food to be served. It was a long row. And by the time the volunteer who was serving bananas reached me, they were almost finished. I raised my hand to pick a banana and found that it was a little rotten. I left that and reached out to another one on the serving tray. And this guy who was serving said, "Take the one you touched first." I said, "Okay." Then he said, "If you want, you can take one more." I said, "No, I just need one." Now, this has profound teaching. What we do without comparison or logic is driven by inspiration or intuition. So go with your first choice, no matter how wrong it looks. Stop for a second and just feel what I just said. That's such a huge, amazing lesson, isn't it? On day sixth, I met a woman who was a regular visitor at Isha. Let me not say her name. She and I got along well and talked a lot about life. She talked about her relationship traumas with her husband and parents. Though she did a course at Isha and was practicing Kriya Yoga, she still needed to heal her past. Initially, I tried to coach as that's what I'm so passionate about. Then I reminded myself that we can't judge anyone. These struggles are there to teach us something. And unless we learn our lesson, these struggles will stay with us. People will learn their life lessons in their own ways. So the key learning is people will learn their life lessons in their own ways when they are ready. Just listen. You don't know at what pain point they are currently operating at. On day seven, I was not feeling like leaving the next day, but I had to. I gave my 100% to this day and became even more conscious and aware to soak up the incredible energy of this magnificently serene place. One last thing that I would like to share with you is that when we used to sit for meals, we were not allowed to immediately eat. We had to wait for the prayer. Sadhguru says, sit with your hunger. It's not a great idea to fulfill your compulsive desires in haste. This is usually an automatic response to external situations and conditions, isn't it? But when we train ourselves to sit with our desire, we do the same in other life situations too. So the key lesson is wait enough to fulfill your desires. Your desire perhaps would not stay a desire and would feel meaningless after a certain amount of time. Every small or big situation has a lesson to learn. Our job is to experience it, look for the lesson, learn it, and say thank you to the situation and the lesson both. So that's it for this week. Connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know what insights you had after listening to the insights that I shared with you today. I'll see you next week. Love you guys and girls. Stay happy and safe. Thank you for tuning in. I invite you to subscribe to this podcast and go to my website, authorhina.com, for life and career changing tools and resources. Be sure to download and read my book, Secrets of the Six-Figure Employee with Zero Stress. It's available on Amazon.